as we begin this morning, open up your Bibles to the book of Psalm 19. Psalm 19 is where we're going to begin this morning. Now that you're in Psalm 19, I'm going to read from verse 7 through 11. Psalm 19, 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord are true, righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Now what you can see, what I put on the chart, when we look at Psalms 19, 7 through 11, we see the extreme value of God's word. As we continue on and look at this, turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 1 and 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 24 and 25. There we have, beginning in verse 24, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. Again, as you look on the chart, I don't know if you can see that, but at the end of that verse I have lasting nature. So what we have as we look at these two sections of scriptures concerning the word of God, its ultimate value and its lasting nature. And then as we go to the third passage, let's go to Psalms 119 and Psalms 119:162. In Psalms 119:162, I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. So again, I have our attitude. God's word to those of us as we understand it is a great treasure to us. So now let's talk about the title. Timeless treasure. And that's speaking of the word of God. It's timeless because the message within this book we are studying this morning is absolutely never outdated. Timeless. It's a treasure because it comes from God. So we have this timeless treasure that is before us this morning. And we're going to look at that a little bit this morning before we leave here and go to our home. So let's talk about this timeless treasure that's ours. It's a timeless treasure because the teachings within the Word of God is a universal need for salvation. Everyone needs it. There's no exception. Let's go to the passage that teaches that in Romans chapter 3 in the New Testament. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, looking at the scriptures, we find clearly, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Again, not to go into great detail, but Romans 3:23 is the summation of chapters 1, 2, and 3. Chapter 1, it shows the Gentiles' need for the gospel. Chapters 2 and 3, it shows the Jews' need for the gospel. And then in Romans chapter 3:23, all being Jew and Gentile, were in need of the gospel because all have sinned. Now, there's the problem. We've all sinned. So the universal need for that is going to be God's love for us through His Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Timeless treasure. That's God's word. Let's go to some passages along that. We're all familiar with John chapter 3. Let's go to John chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17. John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Most of you could probably quote this, but I'm going to read it from the scriptures, New King James. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, I also like to tie together verse 17. You most stop at 16. Verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. Remember, let's stop. The world's already condemned. All have sinned. All right. but that the world through him, and this is why you use 17, that the world through him might be saved. Not everybody will be saved, but that's their choice. We'll talk about that. But he sent Jesus as the means of sacrifice for the world because what? All have sinned. We learn that in this book, The Timeless Treasure. Again, as we go on, we find that this, or let's go back to Romans 5. You didn't do that. Let's go to Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. There we have recorded for us in Romans chapter 5, again showing God's love. We could spend the whole morning just speaking of God's love. We're only going to take a few passages here. In Romans 5, 8, but God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Notice God's love was not lip service. God's love was based upon action. God's love was to a people who didn't deserve it. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we see that love, verse 9, much more than, okay, but God demonstrates, verse 8, demonstrates his own love towards us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now look at the chart. We started with the problem. The problem was we've all sinned. God makes a remedy for this sin. Isn't that a wonderful treasure? Because without that remedy, we'd still be lost in sin. However, we also learned that we need to obey the word. Remember what Peter said to Jesus. Let's go to John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, as people no longer walked with Jesus, and Jesus asked the question of his disciples if they were going to go away also, verse 67 of John 6, then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. That's timeless. Eternal life is timeless. But to get to eternal life, we have to go to the one who has the way to eternal life, and that's Jesus. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Remember Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6 talks about the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Look at, in Christ Jesus. Where did we learn that? Well, you might have learned it from your parents, but then your parents learned it from this book. Again, God's word is a timeless treasure. You know, this lesson helps me. We're going to talk about studying in just a moment. I don't know what your study habits are. The older I get, that's up to you. But when we understand the value of God's word, how could we help but want to study? Now, how much time you do it, that's totally up to you. But when we look at who it comes from and what the message includes, we should be hungering after it. But let's go on. As we look about the God's word being that timeless treasure, remember in Romans chapter 1, let's go to Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, we have recorded for us here, very simple, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also the Greek. I want to stop at verse 16. Familiar to this passage? I don't apologize that I use it often. Notice what God's power is. For I am not ashamed of what? The gospel. Remember, we're talking about the word of God being God's timeless treasure. Why? It's the power of God's salvation. Verse 17. For in it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. So it's in the gospel God's righteousness is revealed to us. But it's God's power to salvation, as we're talking about the solution to Romans 3:23. Let's go to another passage. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1, chapter 22 and 23. You say, well, we've already been to 1 Peter. That was 24:25. Now we're going to 22:23. So you don't have to remind me that we've been to Peter. I know that. Verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. You might want to make a note under truth, John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So by obeying the truth, / the word of God. Okay, through the spirit and a sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Having been born again. Those are biblical words, born again. Trouble is, those biblical words are given a false concept. They're given a false concept. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Now, here's the true concept. As we go in verse 23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. You're born again through the word of God, but it requires obedience to the word of God. Let me give you an illustration. I had received a call. Someone was looking at new Bibles, and they wanted to know what I thought of the MacArthur Study Bible. Now, John MacArthur has written a lot of books. He's a denominational preacher. So I went to our local religious bookstore, and lo and behold, they had a MacArthur Study Bible, beautiful-looking Bible. The Bible itself is like anybody else's Bible. But I look at the notes, because see, when you buy a study Bible, you're paying for all the notes that come with it. I went to two places. Actually, I went to one place. My wife went to the other place. I brought her along. I went to Acts chapter 2 and Revelation 20. And not because I didn't know what the scriptures taught. I know what the scriptures teach there. But I wanted to see what his comments were concerning to what the scriptures taught. Now in Acts chapter 2, 38, it doesn't change. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. That's what, I don't care what Bible you use, that's what it says. But that's not what his comments say. He minimizes the importance of baptism. Not in the Bible, but in his comments. Now the trouble is, when people buy Bibles like that, oftentimes they take those additional comments as being scripture themselves. And they're not. So already I know he don't understand how one is saved. He minimized baptism. Think about this. If it's at the point of baptism, I come into contact with the blood of Jesus Christ, why would I minimize that? Why would I do that? But that's exactly what he's done. I don't know why our religious world is so anti-baptism for the remission of sins. The Bible is very clear about it. But nevertheless, not him. Oh, the same is true with the Scofield Study Bible. I don't know what his exact comments were, but I have a Scofield Bible. I know I'll do a study on that in the future. So I told this individual, be careful. You want to spend $70 for a Bible, that's totally up to you. It's a good Bible, nice leather backing. But be careful on some of the notes. You say, what about Revelation 20? Well, again, Revelation 20, he's talking about the thousand-year reign of Christ on this earth, which is totally false. Now, that's different studies, but understand this if you're visiting this morning. There is no passage in the New Testament, listen to me carefully, there is no passage in the New Testament that teaches that Christ will ever set foot on this earth again. What about Thessalonians? We meet him in the air. We meet him in the air. And it would be a violation of Old Testament scripture, because no one from the generation of Caniah could succeed on this earth. And if you go through his physical lineage, that's where he comes from. But what happens is instead of going to the timeless treasure, they take bits of the timeless treasure and misuse it. We'll talk more about that as time goes on. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Well, Chuck, you know, you just said that. What makes you think you know it all? I don't know it all. But I know where it is all at. It's all in the timeless treasure. Would you agree with me? And let me ask you this. Is the God you and I serve a God of confusion? No. I know you get tired of me saying this, but if you remember me for anything, you remember me for this. People have to be helped to misunderstand the Word of God. If they would just let the Word of God teach what it wants to teach, we wouldn't have this mass chaos that's going on right now. In 2 Corinthians, we have recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, very familiar passage, 18 through 20. Now all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Notice, who's doing the reconciling? God is. How? Through Christ. It goes on to state, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses. Oh, remember, that's Romans 3:23. Not imputing their trespasses to themselves, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Notice, be reconciled to God. Now, how do we go about that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's go to Hebrews 4:12 first. Go to your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. And I want you to keep your finger or put a piece of paper there, but let's go to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, the timeless treasure, God's Word. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, I say this often, but it's clear, it tells us the value and power of the Word. Verse 12, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and is of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's pretty simple, is it not? We're talking about the power of God's Word and how it will affect an individual. I want you to keep your hand or put a paper there, because from Hebrews 4:12, we're going to go back to the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Let's see if this makes sense. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 37. It tells us in Acts 2, New King James Version, verse 37. Now when they heard this, what were they hearing? They were hearing the Word of God, were they not? The apostles were proclaiming the Word of God on the day of Pentecost. When they heard this, now if you got your finger back, go back to Hebrews, what they heard, the Word of God. And what is the Word of God? Quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, right? Let's go back to Acts chapter 2. They were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? How are they cut to the heart? They were cut to the heart because they were receptive to the Word of God. Why is that? God's Word is powerful. God's Word is what does the converting if we respond. Now, that's those who respond to it. Not everybody responds favorably. In verse 38, they ask, what shall we do? Okay, people, I'm not trying to be rude or arrogant. What were they told to do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. My sins are remitted by the blood of Christ, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. What this tells me is that I come into contact with the blood of Christ. Someone says, oh, you, oh, Church of Christers, you think you're going to go to hell because you're not baptized. No, if you end up in hell, it's because you don't have the blood of Christ. It's that you don't have the blood of Christ. And you initially come into contact with the blood of Christ at water baptism. It's that point when you put on Christ, Galatians 3, 26 and 27. If I had these different individuals who writes these some comments on these books, I'd say the same thing if they were here, even as they're not here, because they have led multitudes astray. They have led multitudes astray. I am saved. Listen if you don't get it. I am saved by responding favorably to the Word of God, being baptized, because that's where I get the blood of Christ. I showed you book, chapter, and verse. Now, if I choose not to do that because I'm going to hang my hat on what someone else has said, that's your problem. That's your problem. Well, I'm not going to simply accept Church of Christ doctrine. Don't worry about Church of Christ doctrine. We'll worry about the doctrine of Christ. Worry about the doctrine of Christ. I don't defend all churches of Christ across this land. Do you? Some of them are doing wrong things. What I do defend is the doctrine of Christ. Because that, my friend, is the timeless treasure. Right here. That's the timeless treasure. And what we see they did, chapter 2, verse 41, those who gladly receive his word were what? Were baptized. Were there a lot there who didn't gladly receive his word? Absolutely. I don't know how many thousands would have been there on the day of Pentecost. It's a Jewish feast where all the male Jews were to be in Jerusalem. I can't give you a total. I will suggest this to you, that there were more than 3,000 people there. In fact, I would suggest to you that there was a lot more than 3,000 people there. But about 3,000 were receptive to the preaching of the word, because it's the word that puts us into Christ, and we get into Christ by the blood of Jesus Christ at the point of baptism. Now, that's not the only thing, but at that point, let's go on. One more thing on salvation. There's two ways you can go. And I can't strong arm you, nor do I want to strong arm you. I want you to use your brain. One way you can go is Acts chapter 13. Let's go to Acts chapter 13 and verse 46. In Acts chapter 13, 46, then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. Now, why were they speaking the word of God? Because it's God's power to salvation. Right? You see how this all ties together? You want to argue with that. That's totally up to you. But you're not arguing with me. You're arguing with the word of God. Just like they were arguing with the word of God. Paul goes on to state, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. They don't want to hear it. And that's how a lot of people are today. They don't want to hear it. Well, that doesn't lessen the power of the word of God. That goes back onto the individual and their hard-heartedness toward the word of God. But I've always done this. Well, that doesn't make it right, now does it? Always done it this way. Okay. Boy, we could run that, couldn't we? Couldn't the Muslims say the same thing if they're a third, fourth, fifth generation Muslim? We've always done this. Not saying they're not good people. But Muhammad's not going to get you to heaven. Christ is. Right? We've got to be careful there. Or you can be like this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. I'm not here trying to upset you. I want us to think. And I want us to be aware of you. If you walk out of this building and say, well, you know, I don't like what he said, may I challenge you, take me out of the picture, go back and look at the passages and ask yourself this. Take the he out of there. What do the scriptures teach? What do the scriptures teach? We have recorded for us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, oh, here we have the word of God again, remember? Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, which you heard from us, you welcome it not as the word of men, but as in truth the word of God. Remember what I said, treasure, because the message comes from God, which also effectually works in you who believe. Well, let's look at that last statement. Which effectually works in you who believe. So if you hear the word of God and it teaches you to do something and you choose not to do it, can I come to the conclusion you really don't believe that? Because if you believed it, what would you do? You'd do it. If you really believe that this is the word of God and that's what the word of God teaches you to do, you'd go ahead and do it. And we need to be doers. James chapter 1, verse 21, 22, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But what? Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. What? Deceiving your own selves. Again, I'm just here to get us to think on how important the message of this book is. But it's not going to be important to you if you do nothing with it. It's not going to be important to me. It's just not one of many books. You know, I almost was going to go the route, look at how many Bibles were sold. There's millions of Bibles sold. In fact, I would say probably most of us in our homes, we have more than one Bible. I would say most of us who have phones, the smartphones, we've got Bibles on our phones. We got Bibles everywhere. But what do we do with it? Do we understand it is indeed the timeless treasure? It's as valuable now as it was when it was first revealed. And it's God through that message that is speaking to us. Timeless treasure. But let's go on. It's God's timeless treasure for universal need and direction. Go back to Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23. Jeremiah chapter 10, the prophet said here in verse 23, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. Look at that. It's not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. You know why our world's going haywire? We're not following God's word. Oh, but I'm religious. It doesn't matter that you're religious. Are you righteous? Following God's standard of righteousness. There's the difference. And some of us who are religious think that that's only for Sundays. So they live their lives without instruction from God's word. Is that a possibility? You see, if we really truly understand, this is the mind of God revealed to us. Who should have to tell us to study it? We would want to study it, wouldn't we? If we really believe that this is the mind of God, not only how to worship, not only how to become his child, but how to live, wouldn't we go to it? Or are we, and I'm not making fun of 17 and 18-year-olds, understand. But you remember when you were 17 or 18, you had all the answers. How'd that work for you? Let me tell you, if you're 17 or 18 or 20, you think you have all the answers, wait till you get to be 70. You find you have far less. Somehow those answers have escaped you. You find out you're not as smart as you thought you were. But I'll tell you who's smarter than all of us. God. Because he created us. How wonderful is that? And though he doesn't have every minute detail on our life, he gives us guidance, not only how to become his child, not only how to worship him, but how to live. But we don't do that. But let's go to some passages. As we go back to the word, Romans 12. In Romans 12, you should have this memorized in your memory banks. I use it all the time, our gospel meeting. That was the theme of the gospel meeting. And I'm not going to abandon it. It's still there. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, you know, it's an interesting passage because it's so simple and yet so complex because you've got to do it. And no one's going to do it for you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Is it reasonable to serve God because he allowed his son to die for us? Would that be reasonable? Should we want to do that? That'd be reasonable, would it not? Now, how do we go about that? Well, verse 2. Verse 2 goes on to state this. And do not be conformed to this world. Oh, easier said than done. Easier said than done because we're bombarded by the world daily. The minute you open up your eyes the next morning, turn on your TV set, go on out, turn on your radio, go into this community, you're bombarded by the world. The only way you're not going to be bombarded by the world is to stay in your house, get rid of the TV, get rid of the phonograph. Well, who has a phonograph? Nobody even knows what a phonograph is anymore. Verse 2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable. And underline these last few words, perfect will of God. I could go into a tangent of things to show us on how we should look to God's Word. Let's talk about, real quickly, this is not in the notes, so give me a couple extra minutes here. Do you have emotions? I do. Your emotions probably are different than my emotions. Well, yeah. Does God teach us about anger? Teach us about joy? Teach us about sorrow? Right? Does God's Word teach that? Yeah, go back to Psalms. Go to Proverbs. Go to the Old Testament characters. Families. Which one could raise their hand and say, you're the best parent that ever stood on this earth? My question is this, however. Where do you go for your information to be a parent? Go to the bookstore and go to some current books? Or do you go back to God's Word and realize families have to have structure? They have to have a form of order. Your kids, as they grow up, are not your buddies. They're your children. I want you to have a close relationship with your children. I'm going to work on a lesson on families down the road. But too many parents want to be their kid's buddy. They don't need a buddy. They need a parent. Someone that loves them. Someone that's going to give the hard things and deal with it. Marriage. That's for some falling apart, is it not? In fact, they may not be falling apart and still be miserable. I've known of people married for years and years and years, and they hate each other. I shouldn't say hate. They'd rather not be with each other. Instead, God's Word have anything to say about that? You get my point? Being a worker, ethics, integrity, any of those things in the Word of God? They're going to help you in daily life? Yeah. Timeless treasure. But we don't go to God's Word. We think God's Word is for Sunday mornings. No. God's Word is to live by. Let's go to some more passages. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We have recorded for us here as Paul is writing to Timothy. Very simple little passage here, but boy, so much information in there for us. Verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Stop here. I don't know if you buy books anymore because we have this internet world that you can just watch them. But when you read a book, don't you pick an author whom you like? No, I do. When I read books other than the Bible, I pick authors who I like. What's there not to like about God? You ever think about that? What is there that's not to like about God? And he's given us a book. It's called the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture given by inspiration of who? Of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Wow. Does that go beyond Sunday? Those things there, does that go beyond Sunday? Yeah, it does, doesn't it? That the man of God might be complete. Oh, this word can make us what? Complete. Thoroughly equipped for every good work. I'm not going to shame you into study. You can't shame me into study. But when I realize that it's the Word of God and it teaches me how to live a better life, why wouldn't I want to go to it? You get my point? Why won't I want to go to it? It's God's timeless treasure to us. I'm not saying you can't read other books. But what about this book? Let's go on. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. 2 Peter chapter 1. So if you don't learn anything else this morning for this little time I've had with you, I hope you remember this. This book we're studying this morning is no ordinary book. It's a book which comes from God. The message that's in this book is no ordinary message. It shows the greatest love of mankind to us and shows us how we should live. It shows us how I am to straddle my emotions and use them properly. It shows me how type of husband I should be. Sometimes I'm successful. Sometimes I'm not as successful and need to make changes. But it shows me. Shows me on the parent-child relationship. Shows me on my brethren relationship. Shows me on my relationships to those in the world. It shows me book, chapter, and verse if I do it. If I do it. You know, everybody say, well, you're on a stranded island, you only need one book. That's simple, the Bible. That's the only book I need is the Bible. I don't need the books of motivational speakers. You want to talk about motivation? Go to the book of Philippians. A lot of those motivational speakers use principles in Philippians, but they never identify that it came from Philippians as they keep on getting rich. Timeless treasure right before us. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power hath given to us all things. I have that underlined, all things that pertain to life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. All things through the knowledge. You're not happy with your Christianity? Is it in harmony with God's will? If you've done the basics, but that's the furthest you've gone, is it time to make changes? You should be grateful, as I am grateful, that I have God's Word. Are there things that are difficult? Absolutely. Come to our study on Revelation. But it's worth it, because God cares about us. We're going to come to the close with those two passages. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. So glad you're here this morning. And I tell you, if quote unquote, and I'm not over time yet, I'm looking at the clock. But I'm going to say this. If I go, and I don't know what that overtime means anyhow, but if I am overtime, it's your fault. And I'll tell you why. You pay good attention. That's excellent for those who are speaking. When I look in the audience, I look at you face to face, and you're either paying good attention or you're very good deceivers. I'm going to take the first part, that you pay good attention. So let's close with these two passages. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There's a series of sermons right in that passage. But be diligent. You see, God's word is not going to be a treasure for you if you're casual. And you do it one day and then don't do it for a week. And do it another day and don't do it for 3 weeks. And do it another. No, that's not going to work. You got to be diligent. And why is that? Well, let's close with Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, as Paul addresses the elders of Ephesus, we have recorded for us in verse 32, very beautiful statement there. He states this as he speaks to the elders. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. That's what we have, is it not? The word of his grace. Now look at what the word of grace is able, which is able to do what? Build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. It's able to build you up. You ever get down? Oh, Christians don't get down. That's nonsense. Where did you hear that? Even Christians get down. You ever get down? God's word is able to build you up. You ever become perplexed with what's going on? God's word is able to build you up. Do you believe that? That's what it says. Build you up. Oh, and by the way, give you an inheritance. You don't have to go to the court of the law to get this inheritance. No one's going to take it from you. It's right there for you. It's there for me. But it comes through submission to this book and have the blood of Christ. Let's realize how important this book is. But more than that, let's put it in our life. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, we would hope you understand you need to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. The water's ready. The elders will be here to assist you if you want to do that. Time is ready. If you've been baptized for the remission of your sins and you're a child of God and perhaps you haven't been living like you should, perhaps your Bible just is gathering some dust, go home and see what you can do better. Timeless treasure right here. How sad to stand before God and say, oh, I didn't know that. And then he shows you, there it is in my book right here. Here it is. I didn't know that. Why not? Again, glad you're here. Glad I could be with you. Go home and study this. Make application as we stand and sing. There's a stranger at the door.